Okay, good evening. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis. So tonight's shir is dedicated for a refuah shlema for David Yosef ben Sarah Rivka. So we'll just at the end of the shir, we'll just maybe say a kapitel tehillim. The person who dedicated it asked that we say a kapitel tehillim at the end. So if I don't remember, just remind me. But we'll just say a kapitel tehillim at the end for a refuah shlema for David Yosef ben Sarah Rivka. You should have a refuah shlema. Okay, so we are learning Perek Zayin of Shmuel Beis, and the first part of the first half or so of Perek Zayin, which we learned last week, basically discussed David's desire to build the Beis HaMikdash after all the enemies calmed down and David wasn't fighting anymore. So he came and he said, I want to build the Beis HaMikdash. And at first we learned that Nasan HaNavi said to him, sure, whatever you want, you know, go ahead. And then the Nevuah came through Nasan to David saying, not so fast, you're not the one, you're not going to build a Beis HaMikdash, your son will build a Beis HaMikdash, but it's not for you. That was essentially what we learned last week. Now, you know, you would think that after this Nevuah, you know, David was so excited. Here you have David, Melech Yisrael, you know, he wants to build a Beis HaMikdash for Hashem. He was so excited. And all of a sudden, Hashem just, you know, kind of takes the wind out of his sails, you know, pops the balloon. It's just, you know, very deflating. So you would think that he would be depressed. He would be upset. You know, he would be forlorn. And we find the rest of the Perek is basically David turning to Hashem and just thanking him. You know, just turning to Hashem. And the rest of the Perek is really the tefillah of David to Hashem, thanking him for everything that he's experienced, thanking him for what the future holds in store, and just recognizing the kindness of Hashem, the Shevach of Hashem, without any type of, you know, insult. He wasn't insulted. He wasn't upset. We don't find any of that in the Psukim. So let's see. Let's start with Pasuk Yudches. Vayavo HaMelech David Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. So David comes and sits before Hashem. Vayomer mi anochi adoshem Hashem, umi vesi ki haviosani ad halom. Who am I? Who's my household? The Mefarshim say that who am I? Obviously, is that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for all this chesed. You know, you gave me this chesed. You chose me to be the king. I'm not worthy. Not only am I not worthy, but mi vesi. Right, I'm not. You know, my household is not worthy, as the Malbim says. You know, sometimes a person gets a position of authority either because he deserves it or because he's from the right family. Right, you have people that, you know, you're from the right family, you have the right connections, so you get the jobs, you get the things, even though you may not deserve it. David's saying, I don't deserve it, and I'm not from the right family. I don't have either one. So it's the fact that you gave me this the malucha. Right? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the melucha is an incredible chesed, and I'm not even worthy of this. Not only that, but the Radak points out that according to the Medrash, he was also saying, not just am I not worthy, but who am I from? Think about it. Where did David come from? Where did he descend from? Ammon and Moab. He descended, Rus HaMoaviah was David's ancestor, right? So here, David is saying, not just that I'm not worthy and my family is not worthy, but I come from nations where we're told you're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. And here, not only am I part, an integral part of the Jewish people, but I'm the king of the Jewish people. And I come from Rus, who was a Moaviah. Now we know technically, halachically, it's okay. Moaviv velo Moaviah, right? That it's the prohibition is really only for a Moavi man and not a Moavi woman. Okay, so technically I'm allowed, but at the same time, to come from such a nation, to come from such a bias, Ammon and Moab, and to be accepted and to be the leader of the Jewish people is an incredible thing. The Mefarshim point out that that really this means he davened. Even though the Pasuk says, Vayom HaMelech David Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, he's sitting. What do you mean he's sitting before Hashem? Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. What do you mean David is sitting before Hashem? So the Mefarshim here all discuss, you know, this word Vayeshev. You know, what's he doing? How is he sitting? And Rashi says he was sitting before the Aron. And the Radak says that, you know, how could he have done that? We find the Malachim don't sit. You look at all the Pesukim and Tanakh that describe the Malachim, you know, before Hashem, they're all standing. Srafim, Omdim, there are all these Pesukim refer to the Malachim that they're standing before Hashem because of the cover of Hashem. So here, how could David HaMelech sit before the Aron? So different answers that are given by the Radak. You know, one answer is that you see from here, according to one opinion, that only the Melech of Beis David is allowed to sit in the Azara. No one else was ever allowed to sit in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. You always had to stand in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. The king was the only person that was allowed to sit in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. And some learned from this pasuk, Vayavo Melech David, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, that he was allowed to sit Lifnei Hashem because he was David HaMelech. And anybody that descends from David HaMelech is allowed to sit in the Azara. So that's one opinion. Another opinion says, Vayeshev here does not mean he actually sat. It means that he davened. It means that he davened. And in fact, there's a Gemara in Megillah. We're learning Megillah this year. So there's a Gemara in Megillah that discusses the pasuk of Vayeshev Bahar, that Moshe Rabbeinu sat on the mountain. The Gemara asks a contradiction because we find that the pasuk also says Moshe stood on the mountain. So what did he do in Har Sinai? Did he sit or did he stand? And there's three or four different ways of reconciling those two psukim. But one of the ways, Rabbi Yochanan says, that yeshiva does not always mean to sit, but sometimes yeshiva can mean to stay in one place. Vayeshvu vateshvu b'kadesh yamim rabim, the pasuk says about Bnei Yisrael, that they settled in Kadesh for many days. Doesn't mean they sat. Doesn't mean Bnei Yisrael physically sat in Kadesh. It means that they settled. They stayed in one place. So maybe here also, Vayeshev lifnei Hashem, it doesn't mean David physically sat before Hashem, but it means that he settled himself. How did he settle himself? He davened, right? He focused and he davened, and that's how he settled himself. But that's what he was doing, as the Malbim says, that once Hashem promises him the Malucha, and not only him, that Hashem, not just that Hashem promised him, but we'll see Hashem also promised that the Malucha should last throughout Malchus Beis David. It's not just that David was going to be the king, but Hashem said, you're going to be the king, and your son will take over, and his sons will take over, and it's going to last. The Malchus of Bnei Yisrael is going to last in Beis David, in the house of David forever. So that was an incredible thing, and he wanted to thank Hashem for that, and to daven for the future. Okay, Pasuk Yutes. Atiktan od zos ve'enecha ad Hashem Hashem. Now it's interesting that throughout the rest of this parak, these psukim, you find this construction of the Shem Hashem. Ad Hashem Hashem. And you find this again and again and again throughout David's tefillah. And it seems, and we'll see in a little bit, that the Malbim, of course, picks up on this, but it seems that David is focusing on Hashem being the Adon. What does Adon mean? Adon means the master. So we'll see in what way is David focusing on the mastery of Hashem. So we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Latiktan odzos ve'enecha ad Hashem Hashem. That this too is like small in your eyes. This is like nothing in your eyes. Vatzdaber gam el beis avdecha lemei rachok, because you also spoke about the house of your servant lemei rachok, in the distance, far reaching. My dynasty is not just going to be me. It's not just going to be that I'm the king, but my descendants forever will be the kings. The Malchus Beis David. V'zos toras ha'adam ad Hashem Hashem. And this is the Toras Ha'adam. This is the Toras Ha'adam. Now, what is this Toras Ha'adam? It's interesting. That's the basis that the Ramban wrote a sefer called Toras Ha'adam. You know, probably based on this pasuk. But so Rashi says, what's Toras Ha'adam? That just like Hashem showed Adam Arishon all of the generations that were going to come. And Hashem showed Adam Arishon everything that was going to come. Adam Arishon didn't know anything. You know, he's born into this world. There's nobody else in existence. He has a couple kids. You know, he doesn't know what's going to be. He doesn't know what the world's going to look like in, 5,000 years. So Hashem showed him all the generations. This is what the world is going to look like forever. So too, Hashem is telling David that this Malchus that I'm giving you is not just for you. This Malchus is going to last forever. This Malchus is going to be La'olam Va'ed for you and for your descendants. So in that way, he was similar to Adam Arishon. That's why it says Toras Ha'adam. That's how Rashi explains it. Okay, very good, very good. Yeah. No. So the Radak says that. The Radak says, Pashup Shad in the Pasuk of Izos Toras HaAdam is that, again, this is David focusing on his humility, that what you've promised me and my descendants, that's for someone great. That's for someone chashuv. That's not for me. I'm a simple person. I'm a lowly person. I'm a shepherd. You know, I'm not deserving of this kind of treatment. So that's the pashup shot in Toras HaAdam. However, what Aaron is saying is correct, that the Radak also quotes a medrash. It's a medrash to Hillim, who compares David to Moshe. Compares David to Moshe. And Zos Toras HaAdam is that he's comparing him to the Adam, who's the greatest Adam, one of the greatest men who ever lived. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. In what way is David like Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Medrash actually goes through several similarities. It's interesting that Moshe was the greatest Navi, and David was the greatest king. Right. So you have two leaders of the Jewish people. You have the Navi and the Melech, and Moshe was the greatest Navi, and David was the greatest Melech. Moshe took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, right? So he took them out of the persecution of a nation that was oppressing them. David also took Bnei Yisrael out of the oppression and persecution of the Plishtim, right? And the other nations that were oppressing them at that time. David came along and he defeated the Plishtim, and now Bnei Yisrael was very comfortable. So in that way also, it's interesting. The Medrash says that Moshe split the sea. We just laid Parshas Peshalach last Shabbos. Moshe split Yam Suf, and David split the river. What river did David split? So when I read this in the Medrash, I had no idea what he was talking about. What do you mean David split the river? So I looked, and the Medrash says that it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. It's based on a pasuk in Tehillim that David split the river, and it's based on it's a play on the words in the Psukim that David was. I forgot the exact word. You know what? Let me just look one second. Sorry, I forgot to write down the exact word. Oh, here we go. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Samach, pasuk Beis. The pasuk says, this is David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, of course. So he writes, Behatso so es aram naharayim. Behatso so es aram naharayim. That's what the Medrash says, based on that pasuk. So I look up the pasuk, and I look at all the mefarshim on the pasuk, and nobody says anything about David splitting a river. So what is it talking about? So then I looked up the Medrash. I found a link to it on Hebrew Books, and I looked up the Medrash, you know, a copy of the Medrash Tehillim, and in one of the mefarshim, one of the commentaries on the Medrash Tehillim, it explains that the word behatso so, the hey and the ches can be interchanged. So behatso so is like behatso so, chatsi. Aram naharayim, nahar, right, the river, that this is an allusion to the fact that during the battle, the pasuk is talking about the battle with Aram naharayim, that David defeated Aram, which is coming up, I think, in Perek Ches of Shmuel Beis. We're going to learn, I think, in the next Perek. But the pasuk is alluding to this splitting of a river that David did during this battle. So again, this is not something that you normally hear about, but that's what the Medrash refers to. And then the Medrash says that Moshe gave Bnei Yisrael the five books of the Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and David HaMelech gave Bnei Yisrael the five books of Tehillim. What are the five books of Tehillim? So again, you know, what are the five books of Tehillim? But I'm sorry? Yeah. No, but Tehillim has, you know, Tehillim has a lot of prakim in it. Tehillim, sometimes you break it up by the days of the week. You know, but what's the five books of Tehillim? So the Medrash, again, this Medrash in Tehillim in Mizmor Aleph breaks up Tehillim into five books, starting with, obviously, starting from the beginning, going through Perek Mem. Perek Mem Aleph begins the Sefer Sheni. Ayin Gimel begins the next Perek, the next Sefer, I'm sorry. Tzadi begins the next Sefer. And finally, Kuf Zayin begins the final Sefer. So the Medrash refers to the Sefer Tehillim as being broken up into five Sfarim. I'm sorry? There's a Medrash Tehillim. A Medrash Tehillim, yeah. So it's very interesting, but that seems to be the idea here. So we have these five books, and this is a connection between David and Moshe, and that's the Toras HaAdam according to this medrash that the Radak quotes. Absolutely, very good. So the medrash doesn't say that, but true. Right, Moshe, we know, was anav mikol adam. He was the greatest, the most humble man of all. And David HaMelech is showing incredible humility here. Here he's the king, and Hashem is promising him, not only will you be the king, but your descendants will be the kings. And he's basically, you know, thanking Hashem and telling him that he's not worthy. You know, so incredible humility. Very good. Now the Malbim says something here which is fascinating, and this touches on the focus of the Shem Hashem of Adon that's being used throughout these psukim. And the Malbim says that Toras HaAdam here means that David recognizes that the fact that Hashem is choosing him and his descendants to be the Melech, it's not just a personal chesed. It's not just a personal chesed. Because if it was a personal chesed, I don't deserve it, David says. There's nothing that I did to deserve this. There's nothing that my family did to deserve this kind of selection, this kind of treatment. So if I'm being chosen and my family's being chosen as the Melucha for Klal Yisrael forever, it must be that there's something unique about me and my family that we are supposed to be the Melech, and that's what humankind needs in order to perfect itself. Meaning, just like says the Malbim, that of all the nations of the world, who's the chosen nation? B'nai Yisrael. Now, why are we the chosen nation? Why did Hashem choose us to be the chosen nation? We don't really understand Hashem's ways, but Hashem decided that for the world to operate properly, B'nai Yisrael is the chosen nation, right? This is for like Tikkun Olam we're talking about, for mankind to be operating properly. Who are the Kohanim that are supposed to work in the Beis HaMikdash? Shevet Levi, right? The Kohanim. And the Levim are supposed to sing. Why? Why can't Yisraelim work? Why can't Shevet Dan sing in the Beis HaMikdash? Kach Gozer Rachmana, that's what Hashem decided. We don't understand why, but there's something in the inner workings of the world that Hashem decided, B'nai Yisrael is my chosen nation. The Kohanim are the chosen priests, the ones to serve in my Beis HaMikdash. And Beis David are the ones that are chosen for the Melucha. This is Toras HaAdam. Says David, this is something bigger than me. I realize this is something that has to do with mankind. That has to do with Klal Yisrael. That has to do with the world. Not just about me. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Just like I don't understand why he chose the Kohanim to be the Kohanim, Shevet Levi to be the Kohanim. But that's it. He chose my family to be the Melech, and I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm humbled. I don't understand it, but it's a Toras HaAdam. This is something big. This is something bigger for mankind. And this also, the Malbim doesn't say this explicitly, but the Malbim says, but he kind of alludes to this, that throughout these psukim, David uses the names of Hashem, Adoshem Hashem, focusing on the Adon, the fact that Hashem is the master of the world. Why? Because this is all about the world. This is about Hashem running the world. The fact that he chose David and his descendants to be the king. In fact, the Malbim points out that Chazal tell us there were seven things created before the world was created. And one of them was the name of Mashiach. Mashiach was designated before the world was created. So you see, says the Malbim, Mashiach is Mashiach ben David. Mashiach comes from David. So you see that the fact that Mashiach comes from David and the kings come from David is something that's necessary for the operation of the world, to the point where that had to be created before the world was created, before the world even came into existence. That was already set up, that David is going to be the king, his descendants will be the kings, and the Mashiach is going to come from David, and this is who it's going to be. Right? This was already set up before the world was even created. So you see the incredible Chachma of Hashem, not that we understand it, we have no clue why, we don't get it, but that's the Chachma of Hashem, and that's what David is recognizing with these psukim. Pasuk Chaf, Uma Yosef David Od Daber Elecha. And he says, you know, what else can I say? David says, what else can I say? As Rashi explains, you've given me everything I need. What more can I ask? V'ata yodata es avdecha Adoshem Hashem. But according to the Radak, I can't adequately express that which is in my heart. You know what I'm thinking. The gratitude that I have, the humility, how humbled I am by what you've told me, by what you've promised me. I didn't ask for any of this, as the Mitzudas David says, and you just gave it to me. But says the Malbim, I'm saying, when my Yosef David owed the Daber, I can't say anything more because I recognize again, and according to the Malbim's way of understanding these psukim, it's not about me. It's about something bigger. It's about the world. It's about Klal Yisrael. the fact that you chose me and my family as the Malachim. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ba'avur Devarcha Uchalibcha Asisa, because of your words. Now says Rashi, what do you mean because of your words? Because says Rashi, you promised, you told Shmuel that David was going to be the king. So, right? Hashem told Shmuel David was going to be the king. Shmuel was the Navi, obviously. Hashem told Shmuel David was going to be the king. So now you have to fulfill your word. You gave your word to Shmuel. You got to fulfill your word. David has to be the king. That's Ba'avur Devarcha. Uchalibcha Asisa is called Agdula Hazos. And according to what's in your heart, Hashem, you've done all of this greatness that you've appointed me, Lehodia Es Avdecha, and not just to appoint me, but to make it known. You appointed me, and then you told me, I'm going to be the king. My descendants will be the king. Says the Mabim also here, what's the Mabim has a little bit of a different understanding. What's Bavur Devarcha? It's not just the way Rashi says it, that based on the fact that you told Shmuel, David's going to be the king. Says the Mabim, Ba'avur Devarcha, you sent a Navi. Nasan. In the beginning of the parak, we learned Nasan Anavi. Hashem came to Nasan and told him, tell David, he's going to be the king, his descendants will be the king. He's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's not for him. But the king, that's he's going to be. So says the Malbim, is that what a Navi is usually sent to do? How often do we have Naviim coming and telling someone that they're destined for greatness, that their family is destined for greatness? We don't usually find that, says the Malbim. Usually Naviim come to either tell people something bad is going to happen, do tshuva, right? Or stay away from the Averos if you don't want something bad to happen. That's usually the job of the Navi, to warn us, right? Usually that's what the Naviim are for, coming to tell us to do tshuva, right? Here you have a Navi coming and promising David that he's going to be the king, his descendants will be kings. Is that, that's not the normal job of a Navi. So says the Pasuk here, Ba'avur Devarcha Uchalibcha Asisa. I see from the fact that you sent a Navi to communicate your wishes, to communicate your words, and that which you're thinking, that which is in your heart. Obviously, this is something big. Obviously, this is part of your master plan, part of your, you know, again, your plan of Mashiach, of Olam Haba, of how the world and how Klal Yisrael is going to operate. This is necessary for mankind, not just for me. I see that from the fact that you sent a Navi to tell me. It's amazing. Like, you know, you just read this pasuk, you know, we would just read it. And the Malbim has all this, you know, depth in his understanding of the pasukim. Chaf Beis, Al Kain Gadalta Ad Hoshem Hashem, Ki Ein Kamocha Ve'ein Elokim Zulasecha. Now you see how great you are, Hashem. There's nobody like you, right? There's no other God besides for you. B'chol Asher Shamanu Be'ozneinu. Everything that we've heard, right? So says the Radak, now I finally realize how great you are. I can realize on my own. The Targum Yonasan says also, I heard from previous generations around about all the Nisim, all the wonderful things that you did and how great you are. But again, the Malbim, according to the way he's understanding, the fact what makes Hashem great is not just that he did Nisim. It's not just that he split the sea and he took us out of Mitzrayim and he did the Makos and all those things, which 100%, they are great. And it shows Hashem's greatness. But what really shows Hashem's greatness is that there's a master plan, is that everything is a piece of a puzzle and everything fits perfectly into place. We can't see the puzzle. We can only see the pieces. And when you look at those, you know, you have a 1,000-piece puzzle and you look at those little pieces and very often you have no idea how they're supposed to fit together. You have no clue. You can't figure it out. But once all the pieces fit into place and you step back and you see that big puzzle, you say, wow, what a gorgeous picture. What a gorgeous picture. That's the gedula of Hashem, to recognize that everything fits into the puzzle. Everything fits into his master plan for creation. Says David, this is part of your master plan. Everything that you've created, every force of nature, right, is nothing without you. There are forces of nature. Hashem created nature. Hashem created everything to operate in an orderly system, as he's gonna talk about in the next pasuk.
And bye-bye.
He's in charge of everything, yeah. Yes, Aaron.
The Mayim Loa says more rivers. What do they mean by that?
You broke up a little. What does it say?
It's saying Moshe split the sea, But David split rivers.
Right. Yeah. So we mentioned that before. It could be that you couldn't hear me when I said it, but we mentioned it before. Yeah.
Wi-Fi's not good.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is not good. It's going in and out a little bit. I'm sorry. So we mentioned it before that there is a pasuk in Tehillim which seems to indicate that when David fought with Aram Naharaim, which is going to come, I think, in Perek Ches of Shmuel Beis. So there's an allusion in the pasuk in Tehillim that David split the river during the battle, and that was part of the victory of the battle. Did you hear that? Looks like things are freezing up here. All right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
I'm so surprised that David saying thank you to Hashem. Hashem set him up for...
Right. No. Yeah. No. You're right.
I think that a thank you would be like minimum requirement.
No, 100%. That itself is not surprising. I don't think we're surprised by it. I think what shocked me the most when reading these psukim is just the fact that the whole first half of the perek was basically Hashem telling him, you know, no, you can't do what you want to do, right? Even though you want to build a Beis HaMikdash, it's a great thing to want to build a Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem, like, just, you know, took, you know, like I said, just deflated his balloon, took the wind out of his sails. And we don't find any, not a hint of disappointment, not a hint of anger, or, you know, how come you're not letting me do this? Just Hakara Satov. Now it's true. He's doing tremendous chesed. He's telling David, you know, it's also not a simple matter. He's telling David, you're going to be the king and your descendants will be the kings forever. I mean, that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. It makes sense that David is davening here and thanking Hashem for this. But that's the only part. Nobody's saying that they're shocked by it, but that's the only part to me that's just, you know, indicative of how great David is, that you don't even see the disappointment. There's no disappointment here, because whatever Hashem's plan is, that's what I'm here for.
Can we say that the fact that his children are actually the ones doing it, that's almost greater than himself?
Could be. Interesting.
It's like a self-actualization.
Right. A lot of times, you know, parents are proud of their kids, even if their kids exceed, you know, their own accomplishments.
Isn't that Torah Sa'adam? Right?
Maybe.
Your kids are greater than yourself.
That's maybe the Torah Sa'adam. Interesting. I didn't see that in the Mefarshim, but that's beautiful. That's a nice interpretation. Right? Zach suggesting maybe part of the Torah Sa'adam is that your children, you know, carry on even a greater legacy than you. You know, you gave them the tools and they go even further. So here you have Hashem telling David, listen, you're the king and your kids will be the kings, but they're going to be even greater than you. They're going to build the Beit HaMikdash, etc. Very nice. I like it. Beautiful.
Didn't we learn back in Shmuel Aleph, correctly from what, when he was learning from Shmuel that he was going to be the king when Shaul was still around and chasing at him and
right.
stuff like that? Did he give him a step-by-step and your kids will be the king? He told them back then.
He said already then that.
So this is not all surprising to him. It's not like this is the first time he's hearing it.
I have to look back.
Yeah, back in the
middle. I have to look back. It's interesting. It could be. That would be interesting if he was already told. If he was already told that he and his descendants will be the kings.
They got two numbers.
I have to look. I have to look back. It's a good question. I have to look back. It's a good question. Yeah. Okay. Pasukov Gimel. Umika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. And who's as great as your nation, Klal Yisrael, the one, the singular, unique nation in the world, Asher Holchu. Now, it's interesting. So here you have words in the Pasuk that it's not clear if it's referring to Hashem, and therefore you would say Elohim, or is it referring to other people or beings, and then you would say Elohim. So there's actually Machlokas among the Mefarshim how to interpret these words. But Liftos Lo La'am. So let's start with that one. So who's as great as the nation, Klal Yisrael, Asher Holchu, according to Rashi, Elohim Liftos Lo La'am. And Elohim, we know, sometimes can refer to great people. The Pasuk of Mishpatim, right, talks about Beis Din, referring to the Shoftim, as Elohim. So here Rashi says that Elohim refers to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, who were the messengers of Hashem, right? It's not Elohim referring to Hashem, but it's Elohim referring to Moshe and Aaron, the messengers of Hashem. And they were the ones, Asher Holchu Elohim, Liftos Lo La'am. they were the ones who went to Paro and redeemed Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim and separated them as a nation. That's how Rashi interprets that. Pashup Pshat, says the Radak, is that it's Elokim. Shaholchu Elokim liftos lo va'am. Some pick up also on the plural. Asher holchu, right? So if it was Hashem, it should say Asher halach Elokim. So the Radak says Pashup Pshat is that holchu is just, it's like the Lashon Kavod, it's the royal we. You know, so that's how it's talking about Hashem. But that's why Rashi says that it's referring to Moshe and Aaron. That's why it's in the plural, according to that interpretation. Okay, velosum lo shame, and to make for him a name, meaning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, when he took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim in such a grand fashion, so he acquired a very important name. He acquired a chashuv name. Velasos lochem hagidula, and to make for you the greatness, the gedula, v'noraos la'artzecha, and wonders for your land. Obviously, referring to Eretz Yisrael. Mipnei amcha asher padisa lechom in Mitzrayim, goyim. And again, here the last word. It's not clear. Is it referring to goyim velo hav, meaning that Hashem drove out from Eretz Yisrael the nations that live there and their deities and their gods and their avodah zarah. So then it would be elo hav. But some say that it's goyim velo kav is referring to Hashem. And as some of the Mefarshim say, that because whenever we're in pain, Hashem is in pain. So therefore, he drove out the other nations and kind of did away with Hashem's pain, the way once our pain was done away with. The Malbim here also, and of course, the Malbim is the one who interprets these psukim differently than everyone else. But the Malbim says that just like the heart is to the body, right? The heart is the life force of the body. The heart, in a sense, unifies the body to make it one working unit. Without the heart, the body's nothing, right? The heart brings everything together. It pumps the blood everywhere in the body to get everything working together in concert together. So that's what Bnei Yisrael is, the heart of the world, and all the other nations are the rest of the body. Right? So all the other nations are the rest of the body, and Bnei Yisrael is like that heart. That's why he says, Mika'amcha Yisrael goy echad, the singular, unique, unifying nation, that we make everything tick in the world, right? We make everything tick in the world. And just like we're the heart of the body, we see it from three things, says the Malbim. Number one, that Hashem himself redeemed us from Mitzrayim, right? That the Pasuk says, Asher holchu Elokim, understanding that that name refers to Hashem. Liftos lo va'am. Hashem himself redeemed us from Himself. Why did Hashem do it himself and not through a shaliach? Because we're his nation. We're his chosen nation. Number two, Hashem made miracles and wonders. Lasum lo shame, right? Which, of course, created a great name, but also gave Bnei Yisrael a great reputation. Why? Because who did Hashem make all these wonders for? For us, for Bnei Yisrael. And then finally, third, Hashem did incredible wonders in Eretz Yisrael because of us. So all of these things point to the fact that we're the chosen nation. We're the beating heart of the world. And that's what Hashem did. That's why Hashem did all these things. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vatechonein lecha es amcha Yisrael lecha la'am, that you have established for yourself, Bnei Yisrael, to be your nation. V'yato Hashem ha'yisa lahem le'lokim, and you, Hashem, are to them like a king. And says the Malbim, that what David is davening here for is that just like you've promised never to forsake your nation. This business that the Christians say that we were the chosen nation, we're no longer the chosen nation, baloney, right? We are the chosen nation, we always will be the chosen nation. That's what we believe. Says David, that just like Hashem has promised that Bnei Yisrael is always going to be the chosen nation, will never be forsaken, even if we sin, even if we do things wrong. So too, David is saying, please make sure that my descendants, the way that you're promising that my descendants will always be the kings, make sure that that lasts forever. Make sure that lasts forever. Pasuk Chafei, V'yata Hashem Elokim, Hadavar Asher Dibarta Al Avdecha, V'al Beso, that which you've said, Hashem, about me, about your servant David, and about my family, Hakeim Ad Olam, make it happen, fulfill it forever, V'asei Kasher Dibarta, and do exactly as you've said, as you've promised, and make us just like Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Chavav, Vayigdal Shimcha ad Olam Lemor, and through that, your greatness will be known forever. To say Hashem Tzevakos Elokim al Yisrael, that Hashem is the God over Bnei Yisrael, Ubeis Avdecha David, Yiyenachon Lefanecha. And the house of your house of David will be established, will be good, will be established before you. And here the Malbim says that what makes Hashem so great, Vayigdal Shimcha ad Olam, what makes Hashem so great? Recognizing that just like nature has a specific order, you can open up a biology book, a chemistry book, a physics book, and you see the exact Seder and order that Hashem has designed for nature. So too in the supernatural realm, in the way that Hashem interacts with Bnei Yisrael, which is Hashgacha Pratis, which is supernatural. We don't follow the laws of nature. We're still around, right? We don't follow the normal laws of nature, but that also is with a precise order. Hashem's interaction with us is precise, is exact, is orderly, is with rules. That's exactly the way it is. And so to Hashem choosing Malchus Beis David follows along those same lines. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Ki Ata Hashem Tzevakos Elokei Yisrael, Galisa is Ozen Avdecha Lemor, that you, Hashem Tzevakos, you've revealed my the ear of your servant, meaning that you've made me hear. Lemor, Bayis Evnelach. Very interesting here, play on the words, that I will build a house for you. At the beginning of the parak, David wanted to build a house for Hashem. Hashem said, no, but I'm going to build a house for you. Not a physical house, but a house of a legacy for you and for your family. David says, that's why I'm davening, because of what you've given me, because of what you promised for me. Otherwise, I would never have the chutzpah to ask for this. But because you've said it, because you've established, you've promised it and you've done it, that's why I'm davening. Pasuk Chav Ches, V'yato Ad Hashem Hashem, Atahu HaElokim. You are the master. You are the God. And of course, we know Elokim is the Midas Hadin, is the fact that Hashem is all powerful, can accomplish anything. Udvarecha Yihiyu Emes. And everything that you're saying should be true, right? Should be true. Yihiyu says the Radak, either it's a tefillah, David is davening, I daven that what you're saying should come to fruition exactly, or it's a statement of fact that exactly what you're saying is true. That daber el avdecha es hatova hazos, that you've said, you've told me this great tova, this great news. You've told it to me. And again, as the Metzudas David says, even though Hashem didn't say it directly, but he said it through Nasan Anavi, which is like Hashem speaking with him directly. Pasuk Chavtes, the Ata, and now, Hoel is an interesting word. Rashi says it means that that you should desire, you should want. Uvarech es beis avdecha, meaning choose us, desire us, want us, and bless the house of my house. Lihios la'olam lefanecha, to always be before you, as the Radak says, to always be serving Hashem. Now David is davening. I hope that my family lives up to its mandate. I hope that my family stays on the straight and the narrow. It does what it's supposed to do. Always serves Hashem. Please give us a bracha that should be the truth. That should be the case. Ki ata ad Hashem Hashem dibarta, because now you've spoken, you've said what you want. Umibirchascha yivorach beis avdecha la'olam. You know, bless us that we should always follow the Torah. We should be worthy and fitting for this incredible bracha and chesed that you've selected us. And once that's the case, then we'll be the malachim, and we'll lead your nation in the way that you desire, in the way that you want. So we see David with these beautiful words, thanking Hashem, humbling himself before Hashem, recognizing the tremendous chesed, as the Malbim says, recognizing the fact that Hashem, you know, runs the world. And again, this is an incredible idea that the Malbim is stressing throughout this parak, or the end of this parak at least, that Malchus Beis David is something bigger than just David HaMelech himself. This is something for Klal Yisrael, it's something for destiny. This is a piece of the puzzle of Hashem's master plan. We may not understand exactly why. Why was David selected, right? Why this family has to be the Melech? But that is the case. And it also lends, you know, incredible importance to the fact that although we did have a king already, Shaul was the first king. And Shaul was a tzaddik. He was a good person. He made some mistakes, and that's why he lost the melucha. But he was a tzaddik. But at the end of the day, that wasn't the destiny. that wasn't the destiny. We've seen allusions to this before, that this is the way it's supposed to be. Malchus Beis David is the way it's supposed to be. That's the destiny of Klal Yisrael. That's going to lead us to Mashiach Tzidkenu, Meher of Yomeinu, and Amir Tzashem. We'll continue to learn about how David continues as the Melech Yisrael. Okay.